anytime somebody makes a commitment to follow Jesus, we want to recognize that. And this past week, Melvin, I want to ask you to come up front here. Melvin McGee made a commitment to follow Jesus and was baptized into Christ. I believe Reggie Cross and Jake Sitton studied with him, if you guys want to give a wave. So I'm going to give you some material here. This is Deep Convictions. Reggie and Jake are going to be getting with you over the next few weeks and going through this. It's some good stuff. So welcome to the family, though, man. Glad you're here. That's exciting. And it's been an exciting week in addition to Melvin giving his life to the Lord. As Cody mentioned earlier, we also... I'm going to fix this. There we go. Look at that. That's how you do it right there, Miller. We had the marriage retreat this past weekend. And you might notice our crowd's a little down today. We've got SIUE students out of town for Thanksgiving and also a lot of our married couples gone. They're enjoying their time this morning at Lake of the Ozarks, having a church service overlooking the lake and just the beautiful scenery up there with a lot of other people who love God. And I got to tell you, we do that marriage retreat every year. And that is one of the highlights of my year. It's something that Ariel and I look forward to. We get together with some of our closest friends. We're able to just spend some focused time together and also enjoying the company like I said, people we really love a lot. And we also sit at the feet of some wise teachers and some people who have experienced things that we can learn from their wisdom about. And so it's just a really rich time. And I got to tell you, my marriage has been transformed ever since we really got close with some people that could help and mentor us. And Ariel and I were talking on the way down there. It's like, I feel like we're doing better every year. I feel like every year that we come to this thing, like we're in a better place than we were the year before, just as far as our relationship goes. And so I got to tell you, I'm so thankful to be part of a church that really emphasizes that and that gives us tools to kind of make our lives better. And it's not just about getting together and kind of looking at scriptures every week and going home. It's really about taking this stuff and applying it to our lives. And Jesus said in John 10:10, a lot of you guys know the scripture, but he said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." But the thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I've come so you can have life and have it to the full. And so there's this contrast between this life that Jesus offers and this life that the world offers outside of Christ. And it's just a better life. It's just a better life with Jesus. And I know for years, a lot of us in here, myself included, we thought we could bless ourselves more than Jesus could. We did life on our own. We went by our own rules. Why? Because we thought if we followed God, we were going to miss out on something. Didn't you guys identify with that? Like, this is just going to ruin my fun. But I just got to tell you, what I have found is following Jesus and doing life his way is so much richer and fuller and better than anything I could come up with on my own. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we have a church like that. Speaking of thankfulness, guys, we're going to take a little break. We were in a series on parenting. We're going to take a break from that this week because it's Thanksgiving. And so today we're just going to talk a little bit about things we have to be thankful for. Colossians 2. By the way, there's some notes in your bulletin. If you want to go ahead and pull these out, they'll have all the scriptures and everything on there. So let me read the scripture, though, just to kind of center our thoughts here. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, on this idea of thankfulness. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives rooted in him." Live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught. And look at this, overflowing with thankfulness. This is Paul's word to the church. This is Paul's word to the church then, this is Paul's word to the church now. We need to live our lives rooted in Jesus, and part of that is going to be, this will cause us to overflow in thankfulness if we really live rooted in him. Now, guys, we have a lot to be thankful for as a church. We really do. In the past, let's see, the Wentzville Church was planted over in Wentzville, Missouri, about 12 years ago. It started with 30 people. Immediately, the group that planted that church started reaching people. We started campus ministries at Lindenwood. We started campus ministries at St. Charles Community College. We started reaching people. We started in inner city work in the projects over there and started reaching people. And that church has grown over the past few years to several hundred. Now, in 2014, we planted another church over in the Inner Belt area of St. Louis. And so we've got a church there now. This year, actually a few months ago, we planted this church. We are brand new. We've been here four months. We're not that old here, but already we're seeing some neat things happen here. We've already seen several people give their lives to Jesus. We've got several people who are investigating faith and going through the scriptures and looking at, you know, what this, how this applies to their life. There's a lot of good things happening right here already, and we're brand new, guys. And so I am so excited about, you know, a year from now, what are we going to be talking about in our Thanksgiving sermon or our Thanksgiving holiday? We're going to have a lot more to be thankful for. I'm optimistic about that. So we personally have a lot to be thankful for. In addition to that, as a church, guys, what do you have to be thankful for in your own life? How is God working in your life? Thanksgiving is an essential, integral part of our work with God. Thankfulness is just an integral part. When we lose our thankfulness, when we forget where we've been, it's so easy to slide back into old habits that aren't good. It's so easy to get our eye off the ball. It is so easy to slip up when we are ungrateful or unthankful for the blessings we have been given. So just to start off, guys, we need to acknowledge we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for right now. Thankfulness on your blanks here is an integral part of also receiving Christ and continuing in Christ. Thankfulness is a integral part of receiving Christ and then continuing in Christ. When we find out that we need help and Jesus offers it to us, that's something to be thankful for. When we realize that Jesus is going to continue with us, even though we're still screwed up and we still make mistakes, that is a way for us to be motivated to continue in this faith, right? It's so easy, though, to fall out of that. And so I want to look just real quick this morning, guys, at five things that we really have to be thankful for. And I think if we can focus on these things, it's going to help us continue in our faith. But the first thing I want to put down here is that we're thankful for the grace that he's given me, for the grace that he's shown to me. Ephesians 2:8 says, "You have been saved by grace through faith. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift of God." You have been saved by grace through faith. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift of God. Guys, we have a God that reaches down at our lowest points. And we have a God who gives us the gift of grace when we don't deserve it. For many, many years, I lived as a straight-up enemy of God. Those of you that know me know that I did. You kind of know my background. Those of you that don't know me, that may be news to you. But I grew up in a religious household. I had a mom and a dad who tried to teach me the scriptures. They didn't know that when I was a little kid, I got molested. And that caused me to, at a very young age, grow up thinking that there was something inherently wrong with me, like I was different from everybody else. I had a very, very low view of myself. I thought that I was ugly. I thought that I was stupid. I thought that I wouldn't amount to anything in life. And when you're a kid growing up thinking all those things about yourself, and then you get to junior high and people maybe make fun of you or pick on you or make you feel bad, that just reinforces this inner narrative that you've already got going on in your life. And you sort of will act out of how you feel about yourself. So if you feel like you're a piece of trash, you're going to do things in life that a piece of trash would do in your mind. You're going to do things to other people. You're going to act out of your identity as you see it. you're going to treat people poorly. You're going to treat yourself poorly. You're going to get addicted to drugs. You're going to do whatever. You're not going to care. And so by the time I was in my 20s, I had lived my life up to that point, believing this stuff about myself, running around, doing whatever I wanted, but at the same time just feeling horrible about it. And man, it wasn't until God put me in contact with a group of people who decided they were going to love on me despite the fact that I didn't love myself. And it was through those people loving on me, despite the low view I had of myself, despite my unlovableness, I wasn't easy to love, those walls kind of started to come down. And I started to learn about this thing called grace. And what I learned is that, and you've heard us say it here before, but God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. And so it doesn't matter where you're at in life. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. It doesn't matter how others feel about you. It doesn't matter who you are. You can come to God despite race, despite socioeconomic status, despite sin, despite everything, and God will meet you right where you are. And then he will come into this relationship with you so long as you come to him the right way, which is, God, I'm messed up. I need help. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And through that surrender, just like, you know, Melvin this week gave his life to the Lord. What we say when we're giving our life to the Lord is we are surrendering our will to your will. We're going to make your desires our desires. We're going to do life the way you say to do it. When we do that, guys, God gives us this grace, and he begins to work in our lives, and he begins to change us where you're not the old person anymore. Now you're this new person. Have you guys ever heard that phrase, dying to self? That's what we do when we come to God, and his grace works in us to create this new life. And so in my own life, guys, I'm not the same guy I was 15, 20 years ago. But it's not because of me. It's because of God's grace. And when we understand how gracious God is, guys, that's a lot to be thankful for. If you're as messed up as I am, that's a lot to be thankful for. It says in Psalm 103, I will not forget the glorious things God does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is merciful and tender toward those who don't deserve it. He's slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. Guys, he gives us this gift of forgiveness. He would have every right to mete out all the punishment that he wants on us, but he doesn't want to do that. He wants to change us and transform us. So we need to be thankful for the grace, the unmerited favor that he gives us. Secondly, we need to be thankful to God for the plans that he has for me. We need to be thankful to God for the plans that he has for me. If you go read the Old Testament, he had plans for this people called the Israelites. The story of the Bible goes that God created the world. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. They increased, filled the earth. Sin entered the world through them, and then their descendants had to live in this broken, kind of messed up state. God came to a guy named Abraham early in the book of Genesis and said that he was going to make this guy have a whole bunch of descendants, and then God was going to use these descendants in this special way to bless the earth. Abraham has children who have children who have children. They do become this big nation. God sends a guy named Moses to bring this people a law and help them become a nation and a people. It brings them out of slavery. If you read the story, And God makes some promises to them through Moses that if you people will continue following me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your lives great. I'm going to make you special in terms of all these other nations that are out there. You're going to be my special people, and I'm going to use you to bless the whole world. You just have to be faithful to me. Now, if you've read the story, you know they weren't faithful. They were for a couple of generations, but then they fell into idolatry, which was worshiping false gods. They were doing all kinds of bad things in the worship of these false gods, ritual orgies, self-mutilation, child sacrifice, really evil stuff. And God removed his blessing from this people after a period of their doing that. And he allowed this nation, which was the world power at the time, called Babylon, come and take them over. And they just destroyed Israel in the middle of their history. They tore the temple down, Solomon's temple. They took all the stuff out of there. They took the best and the brightest of the Israelites back to Babylon. This was the lowest point in these people's history. These people got their butts kicked by the Babylonians because of their unfaithfulness, which God had warned them, this is what's going to happen way ahead of time. If you guys do this, it's going to be really bad for you. Okay, so it's really bad for them. During this period of time when it was really bad for them, guess what God did? He started sending prophets to them. If you look through the Old Testament, some of the biggest books in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and then a bunch of these little small books that are guys' names, Nahum, Obadiah, those are all prophets who prophesied during this period of time when it was really, really bad for Israel. They had really messed up bad. Jeremiah, like I said, is one of those guys. In Jeremiah 29:11, this is Jeremiah's word to these people who had really messed up bad. He's coming to them while they're slaves. And he says, this is God's word to them, I have good plans for you, says the Lord. Now these are those people that had messed up bad and were enslaved again. God sends a prophet and says, I have good plans for you. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. I plan to give you hope and a good future. Now, these people had gotten a spanking in life. And guess what? They needed it. Sometimes life gives us a spanking. Often it's because we needed it. You ever gotten a spanking in life? I have. Now sometimes, guys, it's not because we needed it. Sometimes it's just because life is... Sometimes it's Job. Like, Job did not deserve a spanking. He was a righteous man. Bad things happened to him, though. Regardless of whether we needed it or it's just we're living a broken world, sometimes life gives us a spanking. Regardless of where you are in life, this is how God feels about you. This was specifically a word to the Israelites, but man, it's a great illustration of what God is like to all of us. God has plans for you. It says in the New Testament that God has works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. It says that he has gifts that he's given you specifically to help make the world a better place. God wants to use you to do this. Have any of you guys ever struggled to believe that God has plans for you? I know I have. But that goes back to this grace idea, guys. It doesn't matter what you've done. God wants to use you. He wants to make the world a better place through you. He has plans for you. He's got this person that he created you to be, that he wants to help you become, so that you can do the things that he has prepared in advance for you to do. He has plans for you. He wants to give you this full life. So that's something we can be thankful for, guys. He has plans for us. Thirdly, we can thank God and be thankful to God for the difference he's making in me. In Philippians 2, it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. The idea behind this verse, guys, is that God empowers us to do right. He doesn't do all the work for us, but he also doesn't leave us totally on our own. He works in us. He works through us. He works with us. If we quit trying to have our lives transformed, it's not because God quit. It's because we quit. God wants to continue working with us. But really, he leaves the choice up to us whether we're going to do that or not. Is God making a difference in your life right now? If he's not, is there something you need to do different? Is there something you need to change? Is there help you need to get? Guys, this is one of the great things about our church is this is a place where you can get help. This is a place where you can get help. There are people who would love nothing more than to help you grow and to help you address whatever issue it is that's holding you back. We can be thankful for the difference he's making in me. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him." That's just the truth, guys. That person that he created us to be looks a lot like Jesus. And if we're becoming more like him, we're going to look a lot more like Jesus in our lives. Fourth, we can be thankful for the church that he's given me. I can be thankful for the church that he's giving me. I'm excited to be a member of this church. And I'm excited to be a member of Jesus' church in general. It says in Philippians 1, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God." This is Paul talking. One of the things you'll notice if you go read the epistles in the New Testament is he is constantly thanking God for the people that God has put in his life. He's constantly thanking God for the church. Guys, what if Paul wasn't thankful for the church? What if he wasn't thankful for the people God had put in his life? Guys, he even says he's thankful for the difficult people. He even thanks God for the Corinthians. Now, he doesn't thank God for the Galatians because he was really mad at them. He just sort of skips over that portion. Usually at the beginning of the letter, he'll like thank God for whoever he's writing to. Well, the Galatians, he just skips that because they had really done something stupid. But I'm sure he got back around to thanking God for them later. He was just really mad. But do you thank God for the people of God that he's put in your life? Are you thankful for them? Are you thankful for them even when they're difficult or when it's hard to get along? You should be. Through those moments, God is still shaping us into who he wants us to be. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, "Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing." Again, this is Paul, just thankful for the people God has placed in his life. I'm thankful for this church, guys. I'm thankful for the friends I've got that are in Christ. I wouldn't be who I am, and I wouldn't be becoming who I think God wants me to be if it wasn't for the people that God has put in my life. And that's the way God has designed us to work, to lean on one another. Not that any one of us are perfect. I'm certainly not, but I can tell you, I can look at my life and say, I'm in a different place than I was 10 years ago. I'm in a different place than I was 15 years ago. Why? Not because I'm great. Not because I just got my Bible and it was just me and God just doing life. No, it's because God put people in my life that cared enough about me that would come and talk to me and try to help me grow and develop. And so, guys, I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the people of God that he's put in my life. Fifthly, and this is that future I, but I'm thankful for the place that he's prepared for me. I'm thankful for the place that he's prepared for me. 2 Corinthians 5, "We know that our body will be destroyed, but when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made by human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever." Guys, the Bible teaches that our bodies are someday, our earthly bodies are going to be destroyed. But they're going to be recreated. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to be given a body like what Jesus had. And if you go read the Gospels, Jesus lived, he died on a cross, he was buried in a tomb. After 3 days, he rose from the dead, and then he started appearing to his friends. First, he appeared on a seashore with a fire, cooking food. Peter was out fishing, and he sees this guy, calls him over. Peter realizes it's Jesus, jumps out of his boat, runs over to him. They sit down and have a meal together, and then all of a sudden, Jesus is gone. He appears to a room full of people who are sitting around a table. He just sort of shows up in the middle of the room. Like, hey, I'm back, guys. Want to see the holes in my hands, you know? He appeared to over 500 people at one time. He appears to a lot of different folks. He can do things, it appears, with this new body that he has. The last recorded thing we have Jesus doing in the Bible is he gives his followers some orders to go out and make disciples of all the nations, and then he physically and visibly flies away in front of them until he goes out of sight. That's pretty cool. Those are the kinds of things that he could do in this new body that he is given. And in addition, guys, the Bible teaches he was the firstborn of all creation. In other words, he's the first who's going to be raised like that. It specifically says we're going to have bodies like Jesus had. And so I wonder sometimes if we're not going to be able to do the kinds of things that Jesus could do after his resurrection. I would suggest that we probably are. In addition to having a new body, the Bible also teaches that God is preparing a place for us, that he is anticipating this arrival of his children. After we die, we're going to go stand before God, we're going to be judged, and if we are his children, we're going to live with him forever. And I don't really think that's this picture of floating around on clouds with a harp, you know, like in old cartoons or something. I don't really think that's what heaven's going to be like. I think it's going to be a lot more like a recreated, perfected earth. If you go study about Eden in the book of Genesis, you know, they didn't have any problems. All their needs were met. There was no sickness. It was perfect. That's what heaven is described like, except instead of it being a garden with two people, it's going to be like a city with everybody who loves God. And so a lot of you guys, I'm going to get to see in heaven. And I look forward to that. And the Bible describes this in terms that I think we can maybe understand. But guys, I got to tell you, I think it's probably going to be better than we can even comprehend right now. And I don't think it's just going to be us sitting around strumming a harp for eternity. I think it's going to be a lot better than that. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun to a lot of people. I really do think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be, I think joy. You know, I think it's going to be great. And so I look forward to that. It says in 1 Peter 1, 4 through 6, God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you are trusting him. So be truly glad. Guys, that home in eternity, this life is really just kind of a test to see the kind of people we're going to be for the rest of our lives. And we can choose to kind of turn in on ourselves and look to ourselves for life's big answers. We can do life on our own. We can go at our own pace, on our own terms. Or guys, we can just surrender to God. And the Bible teaches not everybody is God's child. You know, if you go read the book of John, in John chapter 1, it's those who surrender to God that are counted among his children. He leaves that choice up to us. But guys, for those of us who decide to surrender to God, he's got this great life here. He'll bless your life here, but then he's also got this even greater life in eternity that we have to look forward to. And guys, that's something to be thankful for. That's something we have to be so thankful for because, man, some days we're going to long for that. Because life is hard here sometimes, isn't it? We're going to long for that eternity, and we're going to have that to be thankful for and look forward to. The only reason we have to look forward to that, though, is because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. The only reason we can experience this grace and engage in these plans and celebrate this difference that he's making in us and this church that he's given us and this place that he's prepared for us. The only reason we have any of those things is because Jesus decided 2,000 years ago that he was going to come into the world and he was going to go take all of our dirtiness and our sickness and our sins onto himself on the cross. And whenever we decide to surrender our lives to him, guys, what we're saying is, I'm going to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you the forgiveness that my action warranted. Not your action, not your goodness. I'm going to wrap you up in my goodness. And when you stand before God, God's not going to see you and your dirty sin. He's going to see me. I'm going to clothe you with myself. When God looks at us, when we're clothed with Jesus, of course he sees his child because we're wrapped up in Jesus. Before Jesus died, he got together with his friends. Before he went to the cross, he knew what he was about to do. They didn't quite understand it. But he got together with his friends and he took some bread and he told them, "This is my body that was broken for you. I want you to take this in remembrance of me." He took some wine or some grape juice. And he said, "This is my blood that's going to be poured out for you. I want you to take this in remembrance of me." And he passed this stuff around, and they all took some. I don't think they understood it at the time. Remember, this is before he went to the cross. But later that night, he was arrested. And he was tried unjustly, accused of all kinds of things he did do. Then he died on a cross the next day. All his followers scattered. They didn't get it. After 3 days, he came up out of that grave and he started appearing to his friends and opening their minds to the scriptures and teaching them, "This is what I taught you guys all along. You didn't get it, but now you do. I went to the cross to die for you, and now you can be saved forever if you follow me because of what I've done. You don't need to go to the temple and make those sacrifices anymore. That stuff's done. You can follow me, and my sacrifice is ultimate." And now, when they took communion, it made sense. And when they took communion, it was like, wow, he loved me that much. He allowed himself. God in heaven made himself a human being, came into the world, lived according to the laws that he created, the natural law, science, all that stuff. Not only that, he lived in a society that was being unjustly persecuted. He went through an entire lifetime like that, then allowed himself to be tortured to death in front of his mother and abandoned by his friends and made fun of and spit on and beaten by people that he created because that's how much he wanted you to know he loves you. He allowed that stuff to happen. He didn't have to. He did it because that's how much he loves you. And so we're going to take communion. And guys, just on this idea of thankfulness, knowing Jesus' love helps us get into a relationship with him. But guys, remaining thankful for that helps us continue in relationship with him. Working out of a sense of duty, and I'm going to do this because it's what I need to do, is one way. But guys, doing life for Jesus because he loves us that much, that's a totally different approach to life. And it's much richer and fuller. And so I just pray as we get into communion, guys, this is one of those things that should drive us. Like, this is how much God loves me. This is how committed he is to me. I'm going to live my life for him out of gratefulness, not out of duty. All right? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the cross. Thank you for Jesus, who came into the world, lived as a human being. God was tempted in every single way, but never sinned one time. He shows us how to live. He shows us how to love you, love one another, and love a lost world. God, he shows us how to do life in a way that's rich and full and blessed. And that doesn't mean that it'll be perfect. That doesn't mean we won't experience pain. But God, we can overflow with thankfulness. And we can live our lives in such a way, despite pain and hardship, that honors you and that helps others see hope and understand that there's more to life than life. We have eternity to look forward to. God, I pray as we take communion this morning, we'll examine ourselves. Is there anything in my life that's keeping me from a vibrant and healthy relationship with you? Is there anything in my life that needs to change? Is there an attitude that needs to change? What needs to change in me as I take communion this morning to help me be nearer to you and a better person to be in the world that you can work through? I pray all this in your Son's name, Lord. Amen. God's given us a lot to be thankful for. We can be thankful for the grace that he's shown me, the plans he has for me, the difference he's making in me, the church he's given me, and the place he's preparing for me. And all of this is possible because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's a lot to be thankful for. Now, because of this, my thanksgiving should overflow. You guys, if we're really serious about being thankful, have you ever gotten really, really excited about something where you just sort of gush? Like, if any of you guys ever won a sweepstakes? Anybody in here? Nobody? Bunch of losers. I used to work in the radio business. I did that for several years back before I was a Christian. I was one of these party animal jocks that smoked weed and talked about it all the time on the radio and got investigated by the FBI. True story. I used to give away a lot of stuff. And so I was the guy running the sweepstakes, and I would give away tickets to concerts. I'd give away tickets to, you know, just all kinds of different types, trips. You know, I remember Mike Tyson. I gave away tickets to a Mike Tyson fight one time. We made people do all kinds of weird stuff to get those. I got to hear a lot of people really, really, really excited about stuff they were given. And whenever somebody wins something that's like a major big prize, do you think they're quiet about it? No. They go tell all their friends. If you've ever won something big, you're going to get on the phone and you're going to start telling people about it. You're going to get on Facebook and start making posts about it. You're going to be excited about it because you've won something that you didn't have before. And if you guys will take this stuff serious that we talked about that you need to be thankful for, if this is something that's really on your mind, you're not just going to sit quietly and be passive about it. You're going to get really excited that you have eternity to look forward to with Jesus and all your closest friends who love Jesus. You're going to get really excited that you have things to do in life and a purpose and an overarching, like, man, I got something to get up and work on today. Man, that's fulfilling. You're going to get excited about that. You're going to get excited that God has given you this gift of grace in Jesus. You're going to gush. If you really internalize this blessing that he's giving you, you're going to gush praise. You're going to overflow with thanksgiving. It's going to come out in what you say and how you live and what you do. Thankfulness is going to orient you to do life in such a way that you would never do it if you were unthankful, if you weren't excited about it. So all these things we're talking about, guys, are things to get excited about. And this excitement should, number one, overflow in my singing. This excitement for the grace it has given me. Psalms 147:7 says, sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to our God. Why? Well, we say thank you to the one we're grateful to. If a fireman runs into a burning building to rescue a person who is going to have no way of getting out of that burning building unless that fireman comes and rescues him, that fireman carries them and their kids out, what is that person going to do? They're going to say thank you. They're going to overflow with praise. Man, thank you for coming in there and pulling me out of there. I was dead. I was not going to get out. I was completely gone, but you came into that dangerous situation and you made it right. Thank you. Guys, you can look at Jesus, and it doesn't matter where you're at in life. If you're a Christian and you've been saved from your sins, you have a whole lot to be thankful for. This singing thing is commanded. This isn't optional. It's commanded in several different places. And I don't think that means we should begrudgingly like singing to God, but I think God knows through the practice of this, he's going to do a work in us. He's going to change our hearts somehow. I don't know how it works. All I know is it's commanded. In Colossians 3, 14 and 15, Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct one another with all wisdom. This is the imperative, the command. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. And there are a few other places where it talks about this. God knows, though, through the practice of this, something's going to happen in our hearts. Our thankfulness, though, should drive us to do that. We should overflow with thanksgiving. Secondly, thanksgiving should overflow in my service. Thanksgiving should overflow in my service. Hebrews 12, 28. Since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. The people I'm most grateful for are those that I'm most willing to serve. If I feel really grateful toward a person, it's no problem for me to go out of my way to serve them. But if I'm not really grateful for them, they're kind of hard to like or hard to love. It's hard to want to serve them, right? Guys, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're not hard to love. If we'll just see ourselves in reality, they're not hard to love at all. And if we think whatever it is God's calling us to do, we're doing this because Jesus loves me and I love him, it's not a tough thing to do. But that's an act of thanksgiving. When we say, I'm going to do this thing that Jesus is calling me to do, why? Because I love Jesus. Why do I love Jesus? Because he loves me way more than I love him. That's what drives us, right? All right, number three. Thankfulness should overflow in my sacrifice. And this point is talking specifically about financial giving. By the way, if you're a guest today, this is really more for members. We didn't ask you to come here to get anything from you. But 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 9 says, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. This is Paul's word to the church in Corinth. They were collecting some money to give it to poor people in Jerusalem. And so he's writing them about that. He says, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. And he's just asking them straight up, are you guys grateful for what God has done in your life? Because one of the ways we can show that is through sacrificially giving financially for the benefit of somebody else. We had a what was called a Daring Faith campaign this past year that a lot of us in this room participated in. We did that with the anticipation of planting this church right here. And we got our congregations together and we said, we want to plant another church in Collinsville. We need finances to do that. Here's some goals we have set. We set a Sunday. We talked about it way ahead of time. And we said, this is the Sunday we're going to have this big push and this collection. And we just want you guys to give sacrificially. If you love what God is doing in your life and you want to pass that gift along to other people in another place, we want to ask you to give sacrificially in order to make that happen. And so we had this big push. And guys, we raised several hundred thousand dollars in one day. Through that, we raised enough money to buy the Petit Four Theater over here behind Walmart, which we currently own now, and that's going to undergo renovations. We got enough money to finance our congregation here for the first 2 years, and that's a lot of money to raise in one Sunday. In addition to one-time gifts, we had a lot of people who pledged money to continue that work. And for those of you that are new to the Crossings, we are a church that's planting churches. And so every 2 or 3 years, we have one of these big pushes so that we can send another team somewhere else to plant a new congregation and new campus ministries. That always takes money. And so anytime we're faced with giving, though, guys, what helps me remember, which we don't have a lot of money. My family doesn't, but we do tithe. and we do give generously, I think, when needs arise. And that's not to brag or anything. I'm just telling you. We do that, I think, because we have been given to so much. And so it's no big deal for us to feel like, you know, this is just isn't a big deal to be generous. I know when I first became a Christian, I wanted to go down and study with this church in Tampa on how to do this church leadership thing. I had a family that graciously let me live with them for a while, for a year, rent-free. And that was specifically so that I could go down there and just become a better person, but they didn't have to do that. But it taught me really early on, they're investing in me because they care about the kingdom. And they understand I want to come down there and work and learn because I want to go do this with my life. I had so many people be generous with me. I had people give me money to be able to go down there. I had people who were able to buy me plane tickets. I didn't have any money. I had a church down there that was willing to put up with me when I wasn't always the most lovable guy. And so just right off the bat, though, guys, I had a lot of people be really generous with me. My wife had a lot of people be really generous with her. That hasn't stopped. And it's just easy for us to pass that gift along. And I think any of us who are part of Jesus' church and who have a relationship with God, we've had so much given to us, it shouldn't be any big deal for us to pass that generosity along. It really shouldn't. It says in Deuteronomy 16:10, celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord your God by bringing him a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing he has given you. This was a word to the Old Testament Israelites when they were getting ready to build some things. So just ask, how can you overflow in sacrificial, thankful giving? How can this be part of your everyday walk? Regarding those of us that pledged to the Daring Faith campaign, three things. Review your commitment. Review your commitment. When we pledged to the Daring Faith campaign, were you sacrificial during the Daring Faith campaign? Did you pledge sacrificially? Did it hurt a little bit? For these people in Deuteronomy, man, we see them giving up their family jewels. We see them just giving up all kinds of things. That's pretty challenging when you consider the state they were in. And I know a lot of folks for our Daring Faith campaign, I heard about people selling cars. There were people who sold collections of old things that, you know, like comic books or cards or whatever, and they gave that money. There were kids who went out and did yard work for a long time leading up to that just so they would have something to give. There was all this stuff that went on. But guys, giving sacrificially, if it's a sacrifice, guess what? It hurts a little bit. When you made this commitment, did it hurt a little bit? Secondly, renew my commitment. Maybe for some, whenever we did the Daring Faith campaign, you were really excited in your walk with God, and so you made this pledge. But since then, maybe life caught up, and maybe you got a little ungrateful. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to renew your commitment. And thirdly, we would encourage you to outdo your commitment. Outdo your commitment. Maybe you'd fallen off for a while, guys, but you feel like now you can outdo that. We would just encourage you to consider it. And again, guys, this whole idea of giving sacrificially, it's not because God needs our money. What happens when we give sacrificially to God? Who is it ultimately doing a work in that's going to bear fruit? He's doing a work in us. When we learn to make him the most important thing and show up in some important areas of our life, guys, he does a work in us. And so that's the point of it all. Lastly, if we're really thankful, it's going to overflow in the sharing of our faith. It's going to overflow in the sharing of my faith. Isaiah 12, verse 4 says, "Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the world about his wondrous love and how mighty he is." Guys, this is one of those things that I think whenever we first become Christians, a lot of us anyway, can be very, very evangelistic. We can be so excited about this newfound relationship with Jesus that we want to tell all our friends, we want to tell our family, we want everybody to know. But then over time, if we're not careful, we can fall into this rut where we're not as mindful about people around us being lost and people needing Jesus. You know, where before you might have gone to the gas station and that clerk in front of you, you struck up a conversation with them because you want to find out if they're connected to Jesus, because if they're not, you want to figure out a way to help them maybe make that connection. Well, now, a few years in, you're just like, "Hey, man, give me my gas. I got to go." Why? Because we get ungrateful, or we just forget. We don't even realize we're getting ungrateful. We just forget. It's easy to fall into that rut. This is one of the reasons we need to be re-examining where were we and where are we now and where are we going. This is one of the reasons whenever we say examine yourselves in communion, if we will just take advantage of the weekly opportunity we have to realize we have been saved from our sins forever by Jesus because he loves me this much, I am so grateful for that. And we tiptoe out of here. Guys, that's going to affect our conversations. That's going to affect our interactions. That's going to affect the way we see other people. If we remember, there's a wide road and a narrow road, and most people are on the wide one. And we need to help them get on the narrow one. That gratefulness, though, that thankfulness, that daily thankfulness and remembering, we have so much to be thankful for, affects so many areas of our lives. And guys, this is one of the reasons that God gives us these examples, this, in the Old Testament especially. As long as the Israelites remained thankful and praising God and remembering what he had done, they lived one way, but as soon as they started grumbling and complaining and whining about what they didn't have, they went another way. On one side, they blessed the world. On the other side, they were a curse to the world. It all is rooted, though, in this thankfulness. What are you thankful for? Who are you thankful to? And how's it going to affect your daily life? I know a lot of us in here come from different backgrounds, and we're in different places right now. Some of you guys in here are just investigating faith. That's okay. Man, we're really glad that you're here. Some of us have been walking with the Lord for a while, and so we're in a little different place. I want to ask everybody, though, to pull out this cardstock piece of paper. This is called the Crossings Communication Card. And we always reserve time at the end of every lesson just to give opportunity for people to respond. And so what I want to ask every single one of you guys to do as you pull this out is just ask, where am I today? Are you just investigating faith? You don't quite know about this Christianity thing. You just kind of want some answers maybe to some stuff. Check on here that I'd like a personal Bible study. And we will pair you up with somebody who can give you some insight and just give you some answers. Some of you here this morning, maybe you have been investigating faith and you just haven't made a commitment to follow Jesus. But you realize this is something I really want to do. Check on here that I'd like to get baptized. If that's where you're at. And we'll pair you up with somebody who will be able to sit down and talk with you about what a surrendered life to Jesus really looks like. Some of you in here are dealing with some deep wounds and hurts. Some of you need help with some stuff. I mentioned earlier that I had some bad stuff happening to me as a kid that put me on a path to drug addiction and everything else. I was sexually abused when I was a little kid. But I was able, through the Crossings, to talk with some people who were wise counselors who were able to help me work through some of that garbage, who had been there themselves. And so if that has happened to you, guys, I just want you to know there's hope. There's healing. That does all kinds of bad things to you. It leads to all kinds of bad places. But the scriptures and God can work despite that. And God has a lot to say about that, and God can help you heal from that garbage. If you're dealing with grief, if you're dealing with family issues, if you're struggling in your marriage, if you've been divorced, I don't care where you're at, if you're struggling with addiction, indicate that on here. And we will hook you up with people that can help. And people who can help because they've been where you are and they've found healing in Jesus from that. People they've been helped themselves. And so we're going to sing a song here in just a second. We're going to give you an opportunity to fill this out during that first song. After that, we'll sing one more song, and we'll pass some baskets, and you can drop your card in there. But guys, I want to reiterate that I am so thankful for you all. I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful that he's saved me and redeemed me, but I'm also really thankful that he's put you guys in my life, because you guys make a big difference in my life and who I am. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll close out this morning. God, I want to thank you again for every blessing that you give us. Father, you are so good to us. You love us despite our being pretty unlovable sometimes, because you see more in us than we see in ourselves. You see us as we were meant to be. You see us for the people that you created us to be. And you give us opportunity to become something more, and just a people who are more than we are right now by letting you work in our lives. Father, I pray as we think over these communication cards this morning, God, that you will prompt us to get connected with what we need to get connected with, or who we need to get connected with. Father, if we need to work on certain issue, God, if we're struggling with grief, if we're struggling with addiction, God, if we were abused growing up and we feel like we need to get help or talk to somebody about that, Father, if we're just struggling with being thankful, if we feel like our faith has gotten stale, Father, I pray we confess that this morning. God, through confession and getting feedback from others, a lot of times that's the missing ingredient that we need to grow, because you've created us to lean on one another. And so I just pray that you prompt us to respond as we need to this morning. God, again, thank you so much for all of the blessings you give us. And we pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.